covering you from your LB1 to your taxi squad. This is IDP Nation.
Manning back, pumps, he fires to the far side. It's intercepted and running into the touchdown.
Your home for the best in IDP and draft coverage.
Daniel has time in the pocket, steps up, and he's going to be hit from the side, and he's going down. That's a sack.
Here are the hosts of IDP Nation, Hollywood and Kyle B.
Welcome back to IDP Nation. It's been a little bit of a break, I know. Sorry, my fault. Lots of things to catch up on. The combine for the defensive players just finished. Today starts the offense. Well, the tight ends went last night, but you got the running backs today. But it's over for the defense. They've done their thing. We'll get into that in a minute. A few news and notes before we get to that. The Philadelphia Eagles have permitted Edge Hassan Reddick to seek a trade. He's age 29, had 27 sacks in his two seasons with Philly. So that'll be interesting to see if he pursues trying to get out of there, if they want to stay. With the way that defense looked last year, I expect a lot of changes. They already let Derek Barnett go last year. He signed with Houston towards the end of the year and had a couple good games. They released Kevin Byard yesterday. Looks like age kind of caught up with him, but he's still a good player, right? Byard is. I mean, that. And my point is this whole defense is going to look different because they just did not get it done. So Hassan Reddick may not be there. Going forward, it'll be interesting to see if any team would be interested in trading for him. And I guess I'm guessing they would rather wait for him to become a free agent. But I don't know what the Philadelphia's, you know, for them to release him, what kind of cap hits and stuff like that that they would have. So I think they would rather trade him, get him completely off their books would be ideal, but we'll have to wait and see. since we last talked, there's been a lot going on. Super Bowl, you know, all that good stuff. We'll get into that. Kansas City won again, 25-22 over San Francisco. I picked San Francisco to win. They had shots to win. They just couldn't finish some drives. They couldn't get finishes on some of their drives. They just couldn't finish those out to get some scoring plays. And I think if they'd have done that, you know, they had to kick a field goal once when they needed a touchdown and just small things like that. And it wound up biting them, of course, because Mahomes took over in the second half and did his thing. So interesting to see. Speaking of the Chiefs, they have some big, big decisions to make as far as their team's personnel. Chris Jones is one of those. Are they going to bring him back? Are they going to be able to bring him back, right? They're going to have to get a deal done with him. He showed up in the second half of the Super Bowl as well. Was huge for them in their win. And then they've got L'Jarius Sneed, who, you know, they're allowing to seek out other employment if he can. So that could be a trade, you know, kind of like I just mentioned with Hassan Reddick. They're looking to move on from him if they can. And I think that would help them with Chris Jones and some of the other player decisions that they got to make as far as contracts go. They already let Marquez Valdez Scantling go, which saved them, I think, I saw $13.5 million. So that's a big thing, but or a big bump for them and their cap. It'd just be interesting to see how this plays off because free agency is roughly a week and a half, 2 weeks away now. There's some players out there that can sign now, but, you know, free agency is going to be – it's going to be crazy because you've got all the running backs. You've got some big-name players. It'll be interesting to see if some of these teams can get deals done with these players before free agency. We just had the franchise tag window go by. No real big names there. I kind of expected Winfield. Tampa Bay's got some players, you know, and Antoine Winfield Jr. Is one. I expected them to tag him, and they still might, but I think they want to get a long-term deal done with him. So there's some interesting stuff as far as free agency goes and all that. As I said, the Super Bowl just concluded. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs and my good buddy Choppy. That's his team, so he's got another championship to brag about. There was some voting that went on, too. So, like, end-of-the-year awards, I'm sticking with the defense, of course, because we're IDP Nation. But up first is the NFL Associated Press Defensive Player of the Year voting. And the winner of that was defensive end Myles Garrett with 165 points, 23 first place votes. Played in all 16 games, 52 tackles, 14 sacks on the season. Just a dominating performance from him. Not his best season, but it was a great season for him as he was helped lead Cleveland to the playoffs, and I think that was a big part of it. Runner-up was T.J. Watt, 68 tackles, 19 sacks, and interception. I thought he would not win it, but I think Pittsburgh's season not being as good was a deciding factor, I feel like. But he was your runner-up, and then your best in show, which is your third place, was Michael Parsons with 89 votes or 89 points in the voting. Um, 64 tackles, 14 sacks for him. So that was your top three. And then they were followed by Max Crosby, Deron Bland, Fred Warner, Antoine Winfield, Roquan Smith, Dexter Lawrence, and Khalil Mack rounded out your top 10. I feel like Mack would have been a little higher than that. Great season out of him, but that's the case. Defensive AP Defensive Rookie of the Year voting. That goes to Will Anderson Jr., kind of what I thought. 151 overall points in the voting. 15 games, 45 tackles, 7 sacks. Just a phenomenal season for Houston. Jalen Carter was the runner-up with 122 points. 33 tackles, 6 sacks, and then best in show was Kobe Turner, who I felt had a much better season than Jalen Carter. 17 games played, 57 tackles, 9 sacks. He led all rookies with 9 sacks, and that put him up there in company with the great Aaron Donald for pass rush rookie seasons, which is his teammate. So for me, I would have had Turner ahead of Carter. And then Devin Witherspoon, and he started off the season so good. I would have him at number 2, but I think, you know, he kind of faded just a little bit down the stretch, but, man, what a phenomenal season out of Devin Witherspoon. 79 tackles, 3 sacks, the interception that he ran back 97 yards for a touchdown. There was a couple of games this season that he just single-handedly took over the game for the Seahawks and won. And just an excellent, excellent season from him. I would have had him as number 2 behind Will Anderson. I would have had Kobe Turner 3. And then 4, I mean, I would have pushed Carter down some. I would have had Yaya Diaby, who finished 6. I would have had him up there. Jack Campbell, I would have had him up there. Byron Young, I would have had him up there, Kalijah Kancey. So I think Carter, for me, he would have been closer to that 7, 8, 9 range in the voting, but he finished second. So it's Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, Kobe Turner, Devin Witherspoon, Brian Branch, Yaya Diaby, Joey Porter Jr., Jack Campbell, Byron Young, and Kalijah Kancey was your top 10 in Rookie of the Year for defensive player voting. So that was kind of interesting to see. I agree with Anderson winning. Miles Garrett, I'm okay with. I didn't think he was quite defensive player of the year, but he had a good enough season, or he had a great season, and Cleveland had a good season, you know, the playoff run with Joe Flacco and everything. So congratulations to them. I want to talk about the Edge Combine for our main event. Before we get to that, though, I want to thank MFL.com for sponsoring our listener leagues. They do that so we don't have to pay fees. We thank them, but they're fully customizable. I think they're the best in the business. You get what you pay for, right? I know some of these others are a little more appealing sometimes or seem a little more easier, but when it comes to fully customizing your league webpage, they're the best in the business, right? You could do anything with it. You could do redrafts. You could do dynasty leagues, you know, whatever it is that you want to do. And you can set it up however you want to, right? Fully customizable as far as scoring, positions, all that great stuff. So we want to thank them. We also want to thank Trophy Smack for being a huge sponsor of ours. Every year they donate rings to our listener leagues winners. So we've got them. I'll be mailing those out pretty soon in their winter packages, but nice quality stuff, well made, heavy, looks good, feels good. They've got all kinds of things, but they give us the rings, but they've got all kinds of things such as plaques, trophies, belts. The belts are amazing. You can wear them. They've got a little thing that you can mount on the wall and hang them up and display them. Just so many options. They truly are the leader in the industry when it comes to championship hardware for your fantasy league. So go check them out. You could use our promo code, our promo link. It's in our bio, or you can go to our idpnation.com page and click on sponsors, and all of our sponsors are listed there. So you can click the links and get the discounts and special offers. Speaking of idpnation.com page, go over there. Been posting some stuff. Now, as far as draft profiles, I think I've done like 6 or 7 of those already. So go check those out. Check out our Patreon, because that's really where most of my work is right now. And it's not all pay. There's 3 different tiers, plus there's a free tier. I post a lot of stuff on there as far as free content and stuff, polls, questions, articles. And then it just depends really on what level of IDP player you are, you know, going up in the tiers. You know, there's a 2, a 5, and a 10. 10 is all the Devy stuff, IDP Devy, the rankings, the high school stuff that I do, just all kinds of spreadsheets and articles. So go check that out and enjoy the content. So the combine started this week. And it started with the defensive players, right? They just wrapped up yesterday, as I mentioned earlier. They're on their way back home. Nothing really shocked me. I don't really adjust my rankings on players based off the combine. Because, you know, me and one of my buddies, Mike, were talking last night. You know, I know who runs fast, who doesn't, right? If you watch the games, you watch the tape, or you're kind of into it like I am, you know that Chris Johnson was fast. So you didn't need to see it at the combine. Now, he did run an amazing time number and wound up on the Titans. But for me, I'm I'm not looking at that. I know who runs fast, who doesn't. Now, if there's a player I think who's kind of slow and he pops off with a fast time, I'm like, oh, okay. Or vice versa. If there's a player that's fast and he runs slow, I kind of take note of that. But as far as my rankings, I don't just adjust them a whole lot. Now, with that said, we're talking about the edge group today. There was one that kind of tested, and I felt like he would test extremely well, right? I had him in my top three at the position, and that's Dallas Turner, edge for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Phenomenal athlete, super good pass rusher, right? Could do everything that you need at the position. I knew he would test well, but what kind of caught me off guard, or not really caught me off guard, is that while I knew he would test well, I didn't think he would win basically every event, right? I thought there would be some players that might test a little better at certain things, but overall, he had the absolute best combine of any defensive player in there, I think. And he was already going to go high. He was already a first round pick, but I think this, just for me, the combine really said okay, because like I said, I had him at number two on my rankings behind Jared Verse. After seeing some of the testing at the combine, I might push him to number one, and they were already close to begin with. So, you know, for me, it's not that big of a jump, but I felt it was worth noting. Turner tested some of his testing numbers. Number one in the 40 with a 4.46. I knew he was fast. He's kind of long, lean, athletic, has some good burst and stuff, and we'll get into that. But I didn't know that he would quite be in the 4.4s. I thought he might be like 4.5, 4.51, 4.52. But to see him 4.46, that's legit. That's good. Especially out of an edge player, right? So, for me, that was huge. He won that event by a little bit there. Chop Robinson was second with 4.48, which kind of surprised me. I'm not the biggest Chop Robinson fan, but he was second. And then Muhammad Kamara was third with a 4.57. And if you're curious, first was 4.58. So Dallas Turner won that. If you look at the 10-yard split, Dallas Turner won that, or was tied for the win in that with a 1.54 seconds in the 10-yard split. He tied with Chop Robinson. If you look at the vertical, which is a testament to some of your explosion, Dallas Turner won that. 40.5-inch vertical. He was the only edge to hit 40 mark. Gabriel Murphy, 39.5. Cedric Johnson, 38. So he won that. If you look at his broad jump, he was tied for second with 10 feet, 7 inches. But there was five players in that group. You had Jalix Hunt, who I want to talk about here in a minute, and Chop Robinson. They led with 10.8. And then Javonte, Jean Baptiste, Jared Verse, and Dallas Turner each had a 10.7. I mean, everything that you looked at, Dallas Turner was up there. So for me, I think that he kind of closed the gap a little bit on Jared Verse, if not passing. I still got some tape to go back and look at. We still got pro days. But for me, the 4.46 versus 4.58, that's 0.12 seconds difference. So I like that. I think that's going to bode very well for him. So, and I'm not soured on Verse. I like Jared Verse. I think he's an elite pass rusher. I've had him at number one since last year. I felt like he would have been probably maybe the top pass rusher last year had he come out, or at least very close. He made the decision to go back another year at Florida State, work on his craft, which helped him. And he's just the elite of this group. But I felt like Dallas Turner was right there with him, right? Very, very, very close. And so I'm going to have to go back and watch some more tape, see if there's some things that I'm missing. But, yeah, I think Dallas Turner made a lot of money, and he gained some ground this past week at the Combine on Jared Verse. So it'll be interesting to see where those two come off the board at. Now, I had mentioned Jalix Hunt, or Jalix Hunt, sorry. And I wrote a draft profile, a draft dreamer profile on him. So go check that out. He's from Houston Christian University. Only really has 2 years of experience as an edge rusher. But it's been a good 2 years, right? The production's there. When you watch the film, he's explosive, impact player. I was curious to see how he would do. You know, you saw him at the Senior Bowl and all that. So I wanted to see how he would test at the Combine. And excuse me, he did pretty well, right? He ran a 4.64, which was eighth. I wanted that to be in the 4.5s, but he's a little bit bigger guy. So, you know, a 4.64, that's no slouch. Looking at his 10-yard split, he ran a 1.6, which is pretty good. You look at his vertical, he was fourth in the vertical at 37.5 inches. So he's got explosion, right? You look at his broad jump, he tied for the lead in that at 10'8". He tied with Chop Robinson. So the kid's got a lot of explosion. And I think that's going to go a long way, right? Because you want those explosive players off the edge that could do a lot. I was just and he had 19 reps in the bench, so didn't quite get to the 20 mark. So there's some room for growth, right? In the weight room, there's room for growth on the field as far as his development. Because like I said, he's a transferred, I forget where it is, I'd have to look at an article, but he transferred to Houston Christian, and with that, there was a position change. So he had never really played edge until he got there, and man, he had quite a 2 years for them. Like I said, he put his name in the hat, and it looks like he's going to be one of the sleepers of this draft. I'm not exactly sure where he'll go, but I do like that out of him. I think he's one that'll surprise some people. Looking at some of these times, we kind of went over the 40s a little bit. But you had Turner at 4.46, Robinson at 4.48, Muhammad Kamara 4.57, Jared Verse 4.58. Chris Braswell was fifth at 4.6 flat. Kind of surprised me. Xavier Thomas, the big edge from Clemson, was 4.62. Cedric Johnson, the edge from Mississippi, 4.63. Then you had my sleeper pick there, Jalix Hunt, who I have pretty high in my rankings, by the way. But Jalix Hunt, 4.64. And Liatu Latu, who a lot of people like. He ran a 4.64. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, 4.66. Then you look on down, you're going down a little bit. Gabriel Murphy, a 4.68. Braylon Trice, a lot of people like out of Washington, ran a 4.72. Eek. Javon Solomon from Troy, the same, a 4.72. I didn't like that out of either one of them. Looking at some of the 10-yard splits, already mentioned Chop Robinson, Dallas Turner, 1.54. Kamara, 1.58. Gabriel Murphy, 1.59. I like that. That's a good time for him. Chris Braswell, 1.59. Jalix Hunt, again, 1.6. Jared Verse, 1.6. And Lonto just – he. I don't know if it was a bad day, but he – in my mind, I don't think he tested great. I think his numbers could be better. He was down there at 1.62 on the 10-yard split. I like Liatu. Great pass rusher. But is he going to be as great as what everyone's kind of building him up to be? I know he's got a first-round grade on him, somewhere 17 to 25, I think is what I've been seeing him being selected. A really good player. I just don't think he's – he's not up there with Dallas Turner and Jared Verse. I think a lot of people want to put him in that category, and that's fine. I could be wrong. We'll see. And if I'm wrong, I'll tell you. I don't think he's going to bust, but I think he'll be a pretty solid pass rusher. And if you get him in the right scheme on the right team, right, there's some huge potential there. But but yeah, looking at his I was trying to find his vertical was off, right? 32 inches is all he did. So 8.5 inches behind Dallas Turner, right? You look at the broad jump, I think he tested there. Yeah, his broad jump was only 9.8. So for me, I thought he would test better there, right? Because what I seen on film was a pass rusher that could play downhill, likes to go get it, right? But the explosion's not there. 32-inch vertical and a 9.8 broad jump is not very representative of elite explosion, right? So he's behind a lot of people in that category. And though, yeah, and I think that hurts me, and it hurts him for me in my evaluation of him, because you want explosion, and testing wise you're not seeing it. So now I need to go back and look at the tape again and say, okay, is this he just not a good tester per se? Am I seeing the explosion on the film, on the tape that I want to see? Or is it kind of backing up what the numbers indicate, that a super talented player, but he just doesn't have the explosion? So, you know, you want speed, you want explosion, you want pass rush toolbox, you want the size, which he's got the size. I think he has the pass rush toolbox. He has okay speed, right? But the explosion is not there. So, for me, I need to go back and look at that. I think that slips him down a little bit. I would put a player like Jalix Hunt, maybe slide him up a notch or two, because he is testing well. So, just remains to be seen. A long way to go. Like I said, there's pro days and all that good stuff that we still have to go through, right? Looking at the bench, and that was for the edges, right? Good group. I think it's a deep, fairly decently deep group. You know, Jared Verse won the bench press at 31 reps, which does not surprise me because that man is a beast. He is a load, single-handedly, just strong upper body, strong lower body as well. So he checked off a box there. But Xavier Thomas was second with 26. Cedric Johnson and Gabriel Murphy were tied for third with 25 reps on the bench. So that was pretty neat. If you look, we'll look at defensive tackles here next. I think this is a sneakier, deep class than people want to realize. Maybe doesn't have the superstars at the top that you would like, but overall, I think it's a pretty decent class, right? You know, you've got the Byron Murphy II, and you've got Braden Fitz, desk. You've got Jerzon Newton. You've got Keith Randolph. You've got Dwayne Carter, Leonard Taylor II, Miles Murphy. I mean, there's a lot of players at this position. Ruka Ohoro, Mikhail Wingo. So you've got some vid guys there. The one that's been standing out to me, and I go back to this past season, is Brandon Fisk with Florida State. Right? I believe he transferred from Western or Central Michigan, transferred over to them, and the last 2 years has just been a beast for them up front. So I was curious to see how he would test. I already, you know, film-wise, I already had him going up there. Then you go to the All-Star Bowls, right? The Senior Bowl, he went there and showed out. And I think that really put him on the map, right? Because now you're in the best of the best. So he did so great there. And I think that really helped him. So now to get to come to the combine and show out was even better. So, and that's what he did. He won the 40-yard dash for defensive tackles, 4.78. That's moving. For a guy his size. The 10-yard split, let's see. He finished third in the 10-yard split at a 1.68, which is pretty good. He finished behind Mikhail Wingo and Ruka Ohoro. Now if you look at some of the explosion numbers, he was first in the vertical, 33.5 inches. Like to see that. This is just checking off boxes, right? You look at the broad jump. He won that 9 feet, 9 inches. He was just absolutely balling. He didn't compete in the 3-cone drill. Not sure if he had the 20-yard. Yeah, he did win, compete in the 20-yard shuttle, and he won it. He tied for the win. Him and Logan Lee from Iowa had a 4.37 20-yard shuttle. So Fisk, in the events that he competed in, he pretty much won them all. So very fast, very quick, which is what you see on tape with him. He gets off the ball. When the ball snapped, he's gone, right? So he's got quickness, acceleration. You see that? Then you see the explosion, right? With the broad jump, with the vertical. And then you see the power, too. 26 reps, like I said, on the bench, which was down there a little bit. That was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He was 7th in the bench, but that's okay. You can see the power. You see the explosion. And you see the quickness, the burst, the agility. So I think his stock is as hot as any players in the league right now, or any rookie that's coming into the league right now, just because – great season on film for Florida State. Then you go to these All-Star games. He shows out at the Senior Bowl, which is huge, right? Because all the scouts and coaches are there. They're checking you out. So they've made their notes. They're putting your name down, whatever. And then you get to come to the combine, and you just blow them away with your testing, which verifies both what they saw at the All-Star game, Senior Bowl, and what they saw for the past two seasons at Florida State. And even going back to his time, I think it was Western Michigan or Central Michigan, but Brandon Fisk, somebody I'd definitely be making note of for my rookie drafts, right? I know you've got a Jerzon Newton, who I think is possibly the best defensive end or best defensive lineman in this class from Illinois. Him and Jerzon Newton and Keith Randolph, his teammate, those two just dominated up front. Big boys, a lot of power. But I think Fisk is – I think I would put Fisk third now, right? I know you got Tyler Davis from Clemson, Jordan Jefferson. Leonard Taylor II from Miami, I think I would probably put fourth. I think that's my four. And then if I'm looking for a fifth guy, probably Byron Murphy, because he tests well, 28 reps. So this class is pretty good, right? I mean, you even go down with the Chris Jenkins and the Logan Lee of Iowa. I think he's another one.
that could be a sneaky good pick if you got a late flyer to use and the room to stash a player. I like that. Let's see if we can look at linebackers real quick. So there was a number of linebackers. This has kind of went back and forth for me on this class. I've really got to look at it closer, break it down. You know, you've got Jeremiah and Trotter. You've got Cedric Gray, Tatum Bethune. You've got Peyton Wilson, Adrian Cooper. You've got Edifon Ulufoloshio, Tyrese Knight, Nathaniel Watson, Maurice Louis-Fau, Darius Masau, Easton Gibbs, Aaron Casey. So there's a lot of linebackers in this class. There's a lot of good, not great linebackers in this class. And I heard somebody on television the other day that kind of said it, and it kind of resonated with me. It's like, you know, there's not really a first-round linebacker in this class. You may have a couple go in the second round, but most of them are going to be like day three guys, like third, fourth-round guys. So it wouldn't be, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody took somebody in the first. But I kind of agree with that. There's not really a first-rounder. For me, I think Peyton Wilson is probably the best linebacker in his class, but his medicals scare me. And apparently everything that I've seen and heard at the combine, he was clean, right? Clean bill of health, no worries. If that's the case, then he's easily, I think, your LB1. He ran a 4.43 40, which is amazing. He's a tall guy, right? I mean, an elite guy, top guy, not tall, top guy, right? Likes to play downhill, can run, can cover, can do whatever it is you need him to do, right? But he ran a 4.43 in the 40, which was tops. That was faster than I thought he would be. I thought he would be more like 4.55, somewhere in there, but that's quick. He ran a 1.54 10-yard split, which was tied for first with a few other players. His vertical wasn't so good. It was 34 and a half inches. Now, I wonder if that's because of some of the injuries in the past and he's still recovering from that. He's not fully back yet, but 34 and a half is around the 10 range. But if you look at some of the players around him, Adrian Cooper, Tyrese Knight, they all were 34 and a half too. So he didn't test poorly there, but I would have liked to seen that number a little better. And like I said, that's an explosion event. So that's kind of, excuse me, telling me that maybe he's not fully healthy back, and I would expect him to be by the time the season starts. He didn't do the broad jump, or he did do the broad jump. He was 9'11" there, so, you know, not a very good number. That was like 7th or 8th in the list. But his speed numbers seem to be okay, you know, especially with the 40 and the 1.54 yard split. Those are the two things you're kind of looking at, right? He's fast, to the ball, attacks, downhill thumper, tackles, but he can hold up in coverage too. So it's just he needs to work on that. I think once he gets his feet back under him and he's got a full 2 years away from the injuries, I think you'll see his explosion come back a little bit. Just kind of looking at some of these numbers, I told you Peyton Wilson had a 4.43 40, which was amazing. Kalen DeLoach from Florida State, 4.47. Adrian Cooper, who I like a lot, 4.51. Trevin Wallace from Kentucky, 4.51, and Jordan McGee from Temple, 4.55. So that was your top five. But if you look at some of these other guys, Edifon Ulofosio, 4.56, Tyrese Knight, 4.63, Nathaniel Watson, 4.63, Cedric Gray, I thought he'd be a little faster, but he was 4.64. Masao, I thought he would be a little faster than that. I didn't think he would be an elite, but 4.7, I thought he would be at least 4.6 something. Easton Gibbs, same with him. I thought he'd be much faster, 4.73. Aaron Casey, who's gained a lot of attention, was 4.75. So some slower times for these linebackers. So I think outside of Peyton Wilson, Edgerrin Cooper, I think those are your top two. And I, after that, these linebackers may be waiting a little while in the draft. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I just – doesn't look like they're going to go very high, right? We'll look at the 10-yard splits. Now, Tyrese Knight, Jordan McGee, Adrian Cooper, and Peyton Wilson, all 1.54. So they tied for the win there. So their 10-yard splits were good, right? It just kind of shows they don't have long speed, which is kind of concerning because when those running backs and receivers hit that second level, they're running in full stride. You know, you've got to be able to keep up with them. So Easton Gibbs, Curtis Jacobs, oh, there was a slew of people at 1.59, which is basically a 0.05 seconds behind. So the 10-yard splits for a lot of people was comparable. If you look at the vertical, we talked about Peyton Wilson not doing quite as good, but Edifon Olufosio led with 39.5. Trevin Wallace, 37.5 inches. Darius Masao, boom, 36.5. I wrote a draft profile on him. Go check it out. I like him. Another sleeper in this draft, I think. Jordan McGee, 35.5, and Cedric Gray, 35.5. So that was your top five verticals for those who participated. Then you look at the broad jump. Ulofosio again, 10.8. So he was, as far as explosion, he's the top linebacker, right? Trevin Wallace, 10.7, Curtis Jacobs, and Jordan McGee, 10.4. And then Jalen Ford, 10.1, who I think is probably my third linebacker in this class. He had a 10 foot 1 inch broad jump. You know, Cedric Gray was 10 foot. Tyrese Knight, 9.11. Peyton Wilson, 9.11. But then you got Edgerrin Cooper down here at 9 foot 10. So, you know, Tommy Eichenberg, 9 foot 8. So some of these numbers are like Easton Gibbs, 9 foot 1. I think Easton Gibbs, if you all play IDP Daddy, then you know, really good player for Wyoming, right? Downhill thumper, makes a lot of tackles, playmaker for them. But I think he's one of those players who just doesn't test well, right? I mean, you put him where he has to test, I don't think he does well. Put him on the field where he can just play well, and I think you're getting one heck of a player. So I know everybody will pick these numbers apart. Like I said, I don't put a ton of stock into these numbers, but it's kind of interesting to see how they test, how they stack up, right, how they fare against their counterparts. Just interesting to me, but I thought Gibbs would test a little better there. Three cone. I mean, Trotter ran a 7.13 in the three cone. He's another one that's in that group. I kind of think maybe that's your top four: Peyton Wilson, Edgerrin Cooper, Jalen Ford, Jeremiah Trotter. I said those first two would be the first. I think Cooper and Peyton Wilson are probably your first two, and then Ford and Trotter will be your next two. They may go second, third round, and then the rest are going to be late. So, and I'll try to do some rankings, top five, top ten stuff once I do a little, once the combine's officially done and I go through these numbers, look at my rankings before the combine and kind of adjust from there. But I'll do some stuff with that. We can look at safeties real quick. Not everybody competed in every event, but, you know, you have to dig through them. Some interesting numbers from the safeties. Dadri Ian Taylor, Demerson, Texas Tech, 4-4-1. Millard Bradford, TCU, 4-4-2. Jalen Simpson, Auburn, who is a really good player. I had him in my top five earlier on Patreon, 4-4-5. That's blazing. And then Cole Bishop, who had one outstanding combine with a 4-4-5. If you watched him run the gauntlet, he never wavered off that center line that they want you to do when you're catching balls from each side. Unfortunately, at the end, he pulled up, so we don't know if it's a hamstring or if it was just a cramp. But, man, his gauntlet was near perfect, and his 40 time was just as good. Tyke Smith, 4.46. Javon Bullard, 4.47. A couple Georgia goers back-to-back. Kalen Bullock, 4.48. That was kind of surprising. I thought he would be in the 4.5 somewhere, but he had a good time. Looking on down here, Evan Williams, who had a good Senior Bowl, 4.6. Sion Viaki, 4.62. James Williams from Miami, 4.65, and Cameron Kitchens, 4.65. So a couple Hurricanes on there too. I thought they'd be a little faster, but they're bigger safeties. They're more of your in-the-box safety. So I kind of like those times for them if that's where they're going to be. You're looking at your 10-yard splits. You had four at the top, Kalen Bullock, Javon Bullard, Jalen Simpson, and Dejon Anthony from Mississippi all ran 1.51s. Cole Bishop, 1.52. Sion Viaki, 1.54, so he went far behind them. Switch over to the explosion scores. Let's see. Tyler Owens, Texas Tech, 1 with 41. Evan Williams, 40.5. He was second. Jalen Simpson, 39.5. Sion Viaki, 39.5. And Dominic Hampton out of Washington, 39, with Cole Bishop at 39. So no one really jumped away there. And the broad jump, Tyler Owens was amazing. A 12-foot-2 broad jump. And he won by over a foot over Jalen Simpson, who was 11-1. So, Jaden Key, 10-10. Evan Williams, 10-6. Sion Viaki, 10-5. So, Viaki has some nice explosion numbers. He's a running back safety. So, you kind of go hand-in-hand with those numbers, right? So, be interesting to see. He says he wants to play defense, that he doesn't really want to play offense. But I have to imagine some of these teams have got that in the back of their mind. Hey, in a pinch, we could probably use him as a running back, right? You probably let him get some reps at running back and stay, stay familiar with the offense, stay in shape with the position and stuff like that. At least that's what I would do, because I think you're killing two birds with one stone, right? You can draft him as a safety, but with his running back experience, maybe one day a week or something, you let him run with the running backs just to get a feel. Go sit in the, in that position group room with him, because you never know. We see players get hurt all the time, and you don't have the backups. You know, he could be a third or fourth backup for you. You have a bad season, you could put him in a pinch, right? So I like that for him. I think he's a really good player. I think he'll do really good at safety as well. Trying to look at some of these times. Wasn't a whole lot of people ran the three cone and the shuttle, Hampton and Hicks. I'm looking at the bench, see if we could see some power numbers here. Malik Mustafa, 22 reps. Jalen Carlisle's 20. Sion Viaki, 20. Jaden Hicks, 16. Katan Aladapo, 15. So that's some of the – oh, we got corners too. Let's look at corners real quick before we go. Quinyon Mitchell, everybody's in love with him. He's a high riser right now. I think he's going to go maybe in the first round, maybe mid first round, somewhere in there to late. That's kind of where I've got him. Nate Wiggins is the hot one, right? 4.28 40, just blazing. Quinyon Mitchell, 4.33. Just kind of looking down here. They're the I mean, there's a lot of corners at the combine trying to. Rake Straw was a 4.51. That was a little slow, I thought. Kalen King, a 4.61. I wasn't very high on him because I felt like he was a little slow, and it's kind of how he tested, right? 4.61. So you look at some 10-yard splits. You know, Quinyon Mitchell, 1.51. Terrion Arnold, 1.54, who I think is phenomenal. I got a draft dreamer profile on him. Go check that out. Dwight McLaughlin, a 1.5. De'Andre Prince from Mississippi ran a 1.47. And then DeCamrion Richardson ran a 1.48 from Mississippi State. So those two were your Blazers. There is a lot of defensive backs at the combine as far as corners go. So, I think that group can go anywhere. I like Terrion Arnold personally. I think what he done in his two quick years at Alabama as far as development was phenomenal, right? Because you had Kool-Aid McKinstry who come in and was the all-world everything, and then they just kind of quit attacking him because he was so good. So teams turned their attention to Terrion Arnold, and guess what? He done the same thing. He was just phenomenal for them. So be interesting to see where – I think – For me, I think Terrion Arnold would be the first one off the board if I needed a corner. Nate Wiggins, a lot of people, you know, he only had a 36-inch vertical. His 10-yard split wasn't as good. But if you turn on the tape for Clemson, he held his own, right? I mean, he was not a slouch. I felt like he did really good for them. Is he a true shutdown all-world corner? No, he's not. But he's got the length. He's got the speed. He's got the ability to cover. You just have to watch on what you're getting who you're getting matched up with, right? You know, those tight, quick movements things might get him a little bit, but I don't know. I think he's one of the top corners in the class. He's at least in the top 10, so I'm not hating it. Because we see players all the time that train specifically for the combine and they come out and put these world-beating numbers up, right? Is that what we see on tape? Is that what they show on film all the time? Maybe not, but that shows you they have the ability, right? Because I didn't think Wiggins was a 4.28 guy. I thought he was more of a 4.47 to 4.5 guy. I thought that's where – and I would have been okay with that. That's decent speed. And then he comes out here and runs a 4.28. So now I got to go back and look at my tape a little more and see if I can see some instances of that on his tape. And if so, then I'm probably going to move him up just a little bit. If I don't see it, then I have to question not the legitimacy of the time, but the legitimacy of it on the field, right? Because clearly that would be a test time if I'm not seeing it on tape. So just little things like that's what I look for and try to go over and comb through my rankings, you know, make little adjustments here, little adjustments there. But I'm hoping to have some of those rankings out soon. I got to do some more digging in the combine. I'm doing these draft profiles. I really want to get through some more of these draft profiles first. Plus, I'm doing some high school stuff and NFL stuff. Free agency, like I said, is a week and a half away or so. That's going to be huge. So I'll definitely try to get these rankings out. I just don't know exactly when. It may be a little later when things kind of settle down, closer to the draft or whatever. And it may be after the draft. Maybe that's what I do. Maybe I wait to see where some of these young men land and go from there. But that's it on the combine. If you've got any questions, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Hollywood Titan. You can hit us up at idpnation.com or idpnation on Twitter. You can go to idpnation.com and send us questions. And while you're there, go over to our subscribe. our rating tab. I can't talk today. Go over to our rating tab, leave us a 5-star review, or you can leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts, Podbean, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, all those good things. So leave us a review. All kinds of good things going on. Check out our Patreon. There's a lot of good stuff over there. Like I said, some of it's free, some of it's not, depending on what level you want to be at. I got spreadsheets and all that good stuff. If you're not sure, just ask some of the people that are patrons. They'll tell you. So I appreciate you for that. I know Justice does the Divvy IDP Grind podcast with me. Check that out. He's going to be doing some IDP Davy stuff pretty soon over at the Patreon. So anyway, thanks for your time. Thanks to our sponsors, NFL, Trophy Smack. We appreciate them. I'll be sending out the winners their prize packs here in the next week or so. And I'll be back next week. I've got some guests I'm trying to get lined up. Now that the combine's over, we'll get some guests in here and everything. So we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Please go subscribe, rate, and review. Give us that 5-star rating. And I'll be back next week, and we'll go over some more.